Heavenly Father, we worship you. Indeed, you are the Yahweh of Judah, the God that rules in the affairs of men, before whom the hearts of men are naked and open. So, Father, we come before you tonight under the covering of our fathers, under the lordship of our King and our Shepherd, Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask, Lord, that as we go into your word this evening, Lord, we ask for fresh mercy, unction under the covering of our fathers. So your word will be a living word. It will come forth with purity and power, in clarity, in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit. Lord, and it will do an internal, eternal work in our hearts tonight, including my own, causing our wills to be more submitted to your will, our minds further illuminated with revelation insight from the Holy Spirit, and our emotions further controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, so that, Lord, you translate us to a higher level, Lord, of efficiency, of diligence, as we keep your word and wait for your glory in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, because as your word goes forth, I duck under the covering of my fathers. Let, Lord, the unction and the grace that is upon them rest upon me, so that, Lord, power will back this word to break yokes, Lord, to heal minds, to heal bodies, to strengthen our weak hands and confirm our feeble knees, helping us to be doers of the things that we learn, that our lives will be well-pleasing and bring forth more fruit in your sight, in Jesus' name. I ask for mercy to be faithful. Help me to be concise, to be precise, to redeem the time, not saying unnecessary things, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, bringing forth, as you dictate, Lord, the treasures of your knowledge, or the treasures of this word, Lord, both things new and old, according to your will. Thank you for your mercy that helps me to be faithful as I stand to minister before you. In Jesus' name, amen. Pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We'd also like to welcome all our internet audience. Thank you for taking our time to be with us. We trust that this will be a refreshing and enriching time in his presence by the help of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. In the preamble that Pastor Buiga was sharing with us, I was quite surprised, and I was saying Pastor Buiga should just continue because he was already tapping into the word that God had given me tonight. And I've entitled it Deliverance by Godliness. Deliverance by Godliness. The Bible says, you know, that upon Mount Zion there shall be deliverance and holiness or godliness, and the people of God will possess their possession. You know, so I want, it's a word of encouragement to you and me, brethren, that we're going to make it in Jesus' name. We're going to carry that glory in Jesus' name. God didn't bring us this far just to leave us by the side. No, we're going into where he is within the veil, and we're going to come out with the glory in Jesus' name. That's the will of God for us, you know. And like Pastor Wigan was saying, you know, the setting of gross darkness is deliberate. You know, God has allowed it because of the wickedness of men, you know, but it is amidst that negative setting that God is now going to demonstrate the light and the power of his glory. So we just give God glory for counting us worthy. Like Pastor Wigan said, a great privilege to be accounted worthy to hear the things that we hear, and to be positioned by the mercy and grace of God under the covenant of our fathers for what God is set to do. So this is what we're saying. We're living in a unique time. And it's the day of God's power when Zion, the perfect church, will be ruling in the presence of her enemies. Amen? And the reason why they do this is because they're going to follow God all the way into his holiness. all the way into his godliness and so tap into the secret of God's power. You see, holiness is the key to God's power. Holiness is the kernel, is the secret. You can call it love, you can call it holiness, you can call it godliness. We're using interchangeable terms. Amen? You know, it's the secret place. Bible says he will hide you in the secret of his pavilion. All the things you are seeing around us, brethren, it will not come near us in Jesus' name. Because, you know, God is going to preserve us by the mercy and the grace of God. So it's a time of gross darkness. It's a time of tribulation. We see that in Isaiah 60 in verse 2, that darkness shall cover the face of the earth. You know, yea, gross darkness, the people, you know. But the Lord is going to arise upon us. Amen. And it's important. Let's look at Psalm 110. Well, before we look at that, let's look at 2 Peter chapter 2 in verse 9. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. And let's read it together. Let's read it together. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. The first part is our portion. Second part doesn't apply to us. Amen. In Jesus' name. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of them. If you've been on Good Morning Jesus these recent mornings, you see that many times mommy prays from Revelation chapter 3, where it says, know that God will deliver us out of the temptation that is coming upon the rest of the world. There is a temptation coming upon the rest of the world. There is a spirit, there are spirits that have been unleashed. It's an evil time. It's the time, you know, where there is gross darkness covering the face of the earth. But the Bible says God is going to deliver us in Jesus' name. And it says God knows how. He has the wisdom and the power to deliver the godly out of them. And he will deliver us in Jesus' name. The same thing the Bible says in Obadiah, where it says that upon Mount Zion there shall be deliverance and holiness. You know, and the people of God shall possess their possession, which is the spirit without measure in the first instance. Amen. And then the nations of the earth, because we're supposed to reap the fruits of the earth. Amen. And preserve it unto our God. So we see here that God is set to deliver us, but it's now important for us to position ourselves where he wants us to be in Jesus' name. Amen. So deliverance by godliness. Look at Psalm 110. Verse 1 to 3. Thank you very much, Pastor D. Amen. Psalm 110, verse 1 to 3. We'll just read it together. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Verse 2. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. So, Zion is the one through whom the rod of God's power is being sent out. Okay, that's strength. Okay, third verse. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness. From the womb of the morning, today's daily rema is it right here, you know. I mean, I help myself to that. Amen. All right, from Dilma, thou hast the dew of youth. So from the beginning of the third day, while it's still dark and early, the day hasn't dawned yet, you know, there is an upsurge of the power of God. Amen. The power to be godly, the power to be holy, you know, is being released to all those who are able to tap into it. Amen. Amen. You know, there's going to be a multitude of young people that are going to be willing to do all of God's will in this day of his power. Amen. And we are one of those young people in Jesus' name. Age is in the mind. Amen. Just be, you say, I'm one of the young people. Amen. We are the dew of youth. Amen. Just receive it. It's your, according to your faith, be it unto you. Amen. And we see the Lord Jesus as our example in Romans chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Let's read it. Romans chapter 1. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, he's speaking about Jesus Christ, but he's speaking about you and I by extension. Because everything that Jesus did, Pastor often tells us, he did it as a man, you know, anointed by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so it's available to you and I. Concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made the seed of David according to the flesh. Now you and I are the seed of David according to the Spirit. So it's the same seed of David. Next verse, verse 4. And declared to be the Son of God with power. Same power. Amen. According to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. The same, we're going through the same process. He's our example. Amen. So we are going to be declared also, as we follow after his example, sons of God with power, according to that Spirit of holiness that is in us. So God is going to deliver us from the sin nature. He will deliver us from the power of iniquity. He will deliver us from all temptation and set us into the fullness of our destiny. Just like it did for Jesus Christ. Now, even in his own case, it's by the resurrection from the dead. Now, Jesus demonstrated all he needed to demonstrate on earth as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. Now, he went to die to bring you and I in into that club. Amen? To make us sons, you know, born of the Spirit. You know, that's bad. He didn't die for himself. He died for you and I. So that we can be. So when he's talking about when he was risen from the dead, that power was now vitally made available to us. Amen. And that's what he's saying there. And that power is going to be demonstrated in our own mortal flesh as well. Let's look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 to 11. We're seeing what are we? What is God trying to say? God is trying to say there is a goal, there is a purpose, there is a target, and we need to have that goal quite clear in front of us, the way the Lord Jesus also did, the way the Apostle Paul also did, and follow that goal unto the end. All right. Okay, so in Philippians chapter 3, give it to me in the Amplified, please. We see, yes, let's read it. Let's read it together. For my determined purpose is that I may know him. And he qualifies that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. He's talking about revelational knowledge and experiential knowledge, following the revelational knowledge. Amen. That's what he's talking about there. And that I may in the same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection. I mean, you know it's available, but now it's to connect and plug in. So the power is now working in our own lives. That's what he's talking about. Amen? Okay? No. Which it exerts over believers. And that I may so share his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, even to his death in the hope. Next one. That if possible, is possible in Jesus' name, I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while in the body. Amen. What he's talking about, three things. He's talking about progressive revelation of God's person. So that you now, as you see and understand the person more, and God gives you the power to actually live like that person, you now experience godly transformation in your spirit and soul. That's what he's talking about. That I may know him and progressively become. He's talking about a godly transformation, and what this message today is to really to encourage us to press on, to lay hold upon more and more godliness. We must not be satisfied with what we have. We must keep pressing on for more, because there is more available. That's what this is all about. Amen. And of course, the spiritual and moral transformation of the mortal body. So we know his person and his power. We experience a holy and godly transformation in our spirit and our soul. And that leads on into our mortal body, so that we are transformed even while we are in the body. He's talking about, so it's not a resurrection in the sense of the one that Jesus experienced. It is a, that one is still coming on later on. It is a more, like Pastor said, it's a transformation of our physical body. Amen. All right. So really what we're saying here today is our hearts must undergo progressive godly transformation. Amen. Our hearts must, and it's progressive. It's not done in one day. But wherever you are, the Bible says, let us walk by the same rule, you know, that we might attain. So we might apprehend that for which we have been apprehended. That's we love. Look at Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared to all men. How did they appear to all men? Through the word. Through God's word. The grace of God has appeared to all men. No, next verse. Thank you. Teaching us, as the word, okay, that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live, let's say it together, we should live soberly. Next one, righteously. Third one, godly. Where? In this present world. Next verse. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. That appearing there is appearing in us. Firstly, it's going to appear in us. Then he will appear for us, and then he appears with us. So we know that those are the three appearings. All right. So we see that it's progressive, soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. All right. And this means that we must keep redefining the standards that we live by. We have to redefine. It's not enough to live by the same standard that we keep raising the bar. If you don't raise the bar for yourself, you won't get there. That's the essence of this word, I believe. God wants us to, you have to voluntarily of your own free will raise the bar or accept the raised bar. That's the word. Accept the raised bar. Because if you explain it to me and say, it is unattainable, or it is too high, or it is too difficult, then that's what you have. We will not stay where we are in Jesus' name. Alright? But until we become like him, you know, God wants us to keep raising the bar so that in our wills, in our minds, in our emotions, we keep raising the bar. Until we are like him. So love overtakes our thought life. It directs the exercise of our wills. It shapes the response of our emotions. That's the will of God. That's what God is saying. You know, and I want to give a couple of examples. You know, because that's how you understand. This thing is exercise. But you know, it's so good to see yourself growing in it. Because when you grow in it and you look back, you can see that, oh, I wasn't where I used to be. Amen? All right, look at John chapter 5, verse 30. Of course, we know that the Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ learned obedience by the things that he suffered and being made perfect. Okay, so obedience is something you learn and you grow in proficiency, same as godliness. Okay, let's read it together. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. He's not talking about something he just started doing today. He's talking about something that he has been doing progressively in the carpenter shop all the while. Dealing with different customers. Amen. The ones that want to cheat you. The ones that want to prove to be fast. The ones that are honest. The ones that don't know that what they are paid for is more than what you are charging for it. Is an exercise in the little things. That brings you to this point where you can make this statement and God backed it up. Amen? That I seek not my own will. So, brethren, what I'm trying to say is that in the exercise of our will, this is the exercise of the will, in the kind of thoughts we allow in our minds, in the kind of emotions we permit ourselves to feel, you know, we need to align more and more with the standard of God, of love, of God's word. Amen. The other example that I have is from the Old Testament. I took one from the New, one from the Old. Look at Numbers chapter 25. Numbers chapter 25. And we see the same setting. Verse 1. Thank you. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. Next verse. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their God, and the people did eat and bow down to their gods. Aren't we seeing this? Aren't we seeing this? Idolatry. Eating things sacrificed to idols. You know, all these so-called offerings that are not pure offerings. Making merchandise of the gospel and merchandising the anointing. And saying, if you come up to this level, you have to pay a certain amount of money. It's eating things that are sacrificed to idols. It's not to God. It's to idols. Next verse. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. Let's jump to verse 5. And this is the word of the prophet. It's the word of leadership. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. These are your friends, brothers, sisters, family. It's okay for the man of God to say it. It's okay for you. Shebi, Aaron is the high priest. Your sister Miriam is the prophetess. Your own family is not involved. It's easy to look and say, oh, yes, they should have done it. But put yourself in their shoes. These are people that they've company with, their colleagues, their customers, their friends, their family. Okay? And the man gives this word. All right? Let's move. So, because one, verse 7. And behold, while they were still doing that, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation. It's in your face. I will do it, and there's nothing you can do about it. In the sight of all the congregation of Israel, who are weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. People were in a place of prayer. People were trying to repent. And then you now said that all that one you are doing, I'm going to do this in your face. That we are all holy. We are all the children of God. Next verse. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he didn't take Moses' permission. He didn't ask and consult and say, our brethren, should we do it? Something rose up in him. It's the heart. It's the degree to which he had exercised his heart in godliness. He just picked the mind of God. Look at what he did. And he rose up and took a javelin in his hand. Next verse. And he went after the man of Israel into his tent. He didn't even knock on the door. Into his tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman, through the belly. So that means that they were together. Naturally. Okay? So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. Judgment came. Right there. Now jump to verse 10. Now people have different opinions. That's too severe now. You should have just beaten him, you know, and separated the woman and sent the woman away. They should have just, you know, look at what God said. That's why you have to redefine your standard by what God is saying, not by what general consensus is around you. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, had turned my wrath away. That singular act. There was wrath coming on the entire Israel because of some people's whoredom. There was wrath coming on everybody. And Moses knew it. Which was why Moses gave the word and said, slay all those that are involved, so that at least we can separate ourselves and show that it's not everybody that is involved. No, but Phinehas, when God saw what Phinehas did, it put an end. Moses the father, Phinehas the son, I and the children. Amen? So it says he has torn my wrath away from the children of Israel while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Say, God is giving you Phineas's reasoning. Phineas's reasoning is not hatred against that man, it's love for God's people. And when you love something, you hate something else. You cannot love God and love mammon. You either love one and hate the other. So it's not motivated by hatred, it's motivated by love in the eyes of God. So God is giving us the understanding. The next verse, verse 12. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace. Can you see? God is making a personal covenant with Phineas based on the degree of the godliness that is in his heart. How much his thoughts were like God. How much his will was aligned to God's. How much his emotion was in line with God. It's not easy to kill a person. It's not easy. But he did it in faith and love. Amen. If you can receive it, receive it. Next verse. And he shall have it, that covenant. And his seed after him, so his generation shall come. And the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made an atonement for the children of Israel. Godliness. If God didn't put this in the Bible, we would have had different conjecture, argument. It's not God, it is God. That's why God spoke. So you can settle the controversy. So brethren, it is the degree of transformation of the heart over time that produced this action. This was an exam that was coming for all the children of Israel. But this candidate was ready. By virtue of exercise, this candidate was ready. Amen? We will be ready in Jesus' name. That's the will of God. But is it the degree of transformation of his heart in godliness that produced this level of obedience that God noted and rewarded? The setting of the idolatry was merely a background for the obedience and the inheritance. So that's what Pastor Wiga was saying, that the gross darkness is really a setting for our godliness and our inheritance to be made manifest. Amen. So it's all working together for our good. Amen. All right. We see. So that's the will of God. So why is it important for us to know this? You know, it's very important for us to know this. Okay. If you look at reference there. I think it's Matthew where it says that when an unclean spirit goes out of a man. If you can give me that scripture, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man. All right. So why? Why is it important? I'm sure you get it very quickly. Why is this important? Now, it's important, firstly, because as Christians, being born again is not an end in itself. It's the beginning. It's the beginning. It's the beginning. It's not the end. And if you treat it as an end, then you do not do what the Bible says. Cleanse ourselves. Thank you very much. Matthew chapter 12. Thank you. We don't cleanse ourselves as we ought, because it's the cleansing that produces the holiness. Amen. When we cleanse out the sin nature, the residual sin nature that's in the soul and in the flesh, it is that that produces holiness. So let's read the scripture. All right. When the unclean spirits is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and findeth none. Now, in this case, it's talking about possession. But the same thing applies to infirmities. Now, that is oppression. That when Satan is oppressing from the air, using the sin nature as a landing site. It's the same. The principle is the same. You know, but it's talking about possession. No, next verse. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. That is not the will of God for us in Jesus' name. Our house will not be empty, swept, and garnished. It was not dirty, brethren. It was empty. Dirty and empty are not the same. So sometimes you can say, oh, I'm not dirty. I'm not like that. But are you empty? Or to what degree are you filled with the word of God? Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you in all wisdom. To be filled with the Holy Spirit. So God also, it's not enough to have overcome some infirmities. It is to reproduce Christ. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Word. The revelation of the Word. So that there is no space for any other thing in that heart. That's what God is saying. When you get that, then you that it drives you on. Amen? Amen? Look. So, this is really in our force. We put on and keep on our spiritual armor. Pastor Wigger was talking about that. You know, no, by the blood, word, and spirit. No, so that His word and His spirit dwell richly in our thoughts. So, when you think, your ordinary thinking is like God. You're thinking along that you have the mind of Christ. So we keep striving for this, brethren. It's not enough to be empty. It's not enough to be empty. Because Satan, and if you look in history, you will see, you know, infirmities. John the same John the Baptist that prophesied the Christ and said, this is the way that He must increase and I must decrease. It's the same one that didn't do what he said that everybody should do. And some people did it. That's why Paul said, I put my body under. Lest after I have preached to others, I myself can be a castaway. It's possible. That's why he said that. And God stamped that scripture. Brethren, we're not going to lose in Jesus' name. We keep gaining and gaining ground. We gain ground. We gain ground. We gain ground. That's the will of God for us. Look at Colossians 3:16. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace. That grace there is life. Singing with life. She's talking about being filled with the Word and the Spirit in your hearts to the Lord. This thing is in our hearts. It's talking about something that comes out of the heart. All right. Otherwise, the pressure of the times can make us fall. And our father David is an example. Okay? So, when you stop cleansing and putting out the sin nature, then what is outside can come in. What is outside will not come in Jesus' name. Amen. That's the will of God for us. But the idea is to remove every vestige. Remove every little. Change your DNA. Really, spiritually. That's what God is saying. You know, so your spontaneous response is different. Amen. It's in line with the word of God and love of God. Number two. And this is very important. We must look out for presumptuous sins of omission, in order to ensure that we obtain a full reward. Presumptuous sins are sins of assumption. The Bible talks about them in Psalm 19, you know, in verse 11 somewhere there. You know, it's keeping back from presumptuous sins, but they are sins. If you look at the story of the Pharisee and the publican, the Pharisee was doing those things he was doing, but they were negated by his presumptuousness. They were negated. That feeling that we see, and we see. So because we say we see, then you are blind. That's what Jesus said. Because you say you see, that idea that you and I can exist independent of God, that you and I are something without in because of the effort we have put in. Not taking away the fact that we have to put in effort, but even your effort is motivated and guided by the mercy of God. It's not of him that willeth, it's of God that shows mercy. So at every point that he's contrasting and comparing the Pharisee and publican, his Bible says the publican went away more justified. Because he said, Lord, have mercy on me. Presumptuous sins. Thinking that we are something that we are not. We are at a level where we can do some things without God. Yes, this one. It's my strong point. Let me just put it like that. I'm trying to be humble. You know, this one is my strong point. There's no problem with this. But you know, Lord Jesus Christ, they said, good master, what shall we do to have eternal life? He said, why do you call me good? That was not the object of the question. It was supposed to be a compliment leading to the question. But he quickly, it, the degree of godliness. You know, when you drop something black on a white floor, it's very obvious. As soon as Jesus had that, the alarm bell went off and said, Pyang! And quickly returned it, not to the sender, but he just said that this one is not for me. He said, why are you calling me good? Only God is good. Meaning that I am only good because God is helping me to be good. So it's important for us to understand our dependence on God. And you know, independence is in the Satan's DNA. And it's in the sin nature. It's in the DNA of sin nature. So, you know, whatever infirmities you have, the real problem is the independence. Because, you know, it makes lulls you into a false sense of security. Which is what happened to David. Lord, in the first sense, you get that, if I stay, they will win. And they won. But it had consequences. The Bible says that the presumptuous sins, it delivers into great transgression. God forbid, we will not fall into it in Jesus' name. But we are not falling into it by being aware, by looking out for it, and by consciously exercising ourselves in dependence on God. Lord, have mercy. Lord, help me. Lord, I need you. Lord, help me. Lord, I need you. That's what it takes to be able to stand. Otherwise, look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14. 2 Peter chapter 2, in verse 14. These are brethren, who is not unbelievers. This description is for brethren. Having eyes, mind, full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and hearts they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. Not our portion in Jesus' name. But they didn't get there in one day. They were exercising themselves to this destination. So, but what God is saying that we should exercise ourselves unto godliness. So it's a continuous exercise. The more godly you are, the less the chances of this happening to you. So it's a continuous exercise. But what makes you keep exercising is the fact that, Lord, I have not yet attained. Lord, I haven't yet gotten where I'm supposed to get to. I need to get to more. This is the mistake I made. This is another mistake I made. And people did not see. I know people did not see, but that's not the key. The key is that I know that it's a mistake. I know I'm falling short. This is not the standard of the world. This is not the standard God has given. This is not the standard of my fathers. Amen? And you keep pushing yourself forward. That's the will of God. Amen? So how then do we do it? Number one, acknowledge the Lord constantly for his mercy all day long, so we will be able to act in his fear. I'm going to share a scripture with you that I'm sure you know off by your heart, but we will still read it quietly. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. We know it, but it's not the knowing, it is the practice. To what degree are we practicing? Let's say it together. Trust in the Lord with most of your heart. My pastor says, with 75% of your heart, with half of your heart. What did he say? At the heart level is all. So we keep exercising. And lean not unto thy own understanding. Next verse. In all thy ways, not some, not most, all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Amen. Next verse. Be not wise in thine own eyes. This is presumptuous sins. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You see, you need to be afraid of God. The scripture, thank you, Holy Spirit. It's not in my notes, but it's coming by the Spirit to me. The scripture says that God gave Ahithophel a gift in Israel. That when you ask for counsel from the mouth of Ahithophel, it is like asking for counsel from the mouth of God. So it is God that gave Ahithophel that gift. And the gift and the callings of God are without repentance. But the same God, when they ask counsel, when Absalom asked counsel, no, Ahithophel gave the counsel that he normally would give that was 100% God. And you would have thought, God is bound. God's hands are tied. God's hands are never tied. If God is using you, it is because he's having mercy on you to use you. There are other people that he can use. Yeah, and they will do it even better than you are doing it. Without any of the complaints that you are giving him. It will be an honor. So when God is using you and you are busy and there's so much work, be thanking God. Like mommy says, it's a privilege to work. It's a privilege to be alive. It's a privilege to serve. It is, oh brethren. It is. You have to be telling yourself. It's something you will tell ourselves. We are the ones that have to tell ourselves. You know, just like Jesus told himself. He said, only God is good. He keeps telling himself. So anytime he hears anything that is contrary, it flags off an alarm. Because that's not what he's telling himself. Question, what are we telling ourselves in our heart? Ahithophel was telling himself, there's none like me. And this one, you are in trouble. I go to Absalom's side. And God said, David prayed a prayer. The anointed of God. That said of Saul, when Saul was chasing him, that nobody can smite the anointed of God and be guiltless. He recognized it. And he honored it. And God honored him. So it was now payback time. But Ahithophel didn't know that. He wasn't there when David and God were settling all that. This is why you have to honor those in authority and give them that 2,000 cubits. Sometimes they may say something, in quote, wrong. And God would use that wrong way to do it. Just to show you that it's not of him that willeth, but of God that shows mercy. What appears to be wrong. So you know what? We know this story. Hushai gave another counsel that was given out of loyalty. But God put anointing on Hushai's counsel. And you know what? The anointing that Ahithophel had transferred to him. And he didn't know. He thought it was resident in him. I have cleansed myself from my own sin. I am who I am because of what I have done. God showed him that you are not. Except without me, you can do nothing. That's what the Bible says in John 15. So in the end, they took Hushai's counsel to their destruction. And Ahithophel went and hanged himself. He, you can imagine how proud he was. He must have been so proud that, I spoke and it was not taken. Insult. I have to kill myself. That's the height of pride, though, presumptuousness. And it was a leader. It was a counselor. It was a leader. So it tells you that these are things we need to be careful about. Amen. We need to fear the Lord and depart from evil. That's how we got here. Fear the Lord. Understand that the God we are dealing with, he searches the reins and the intents of the heart. Amen. And he brings out the hidden things of the heart. So as we keep doing this, look at Proverbs 16, verse 6 and 7. Proverbs 16 says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. It's not by truth alone. Solomon had truth, he didn't have mercy. To the degree that he should have had. He wrote truth for us in Proverbs. Yet, the mercy was not there to enable him walk in it. It says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. So if you are exercising truth, you are speaking truth, you are thinking truth, and you are seeing yourself change, be thanking God for the mercy and the truth. It's not you, even though if you don't do your part, God will not be able to do what he wants to do. But doing your part, you can do your part, and if God doesn't do his part, you will not move forward. That's the key. So that's what we're saying here. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. The more our hearts are purged, the more the fear of the Lord we have in our hearts. Amen? Look at the next verse, verse 7. Okay, when a man's wisdom is Lord, verse 6, I really want. So we grow in mercy that keeps us growing like Samuel in the midst of Eli's house. Just like Samuel grew, The Bible says, and Samuel grew. And while he was describing what Hophni and Phinehas were doing, he was saying, and Samuel grew. How did Samuel do it? Mercy and truth. The truth, the little truth that Eli had to teach is the truth that purified Samuel's life and made Samuel a standard, not only to Hophni and Phinehas that they were disobedient, but even to Eli, his adopted father. Number two, sincerity and humility of heart. All right? Coming to the light. We need to come to the light. Ephesians chapter 5. And I read from verse 8 to 13. Anywhere where there's truth, that's where we should gravitate towards. Anywhere where there's light, we should gravitate towards the light. There are sides, brethren. Once light is on one side, it means that there's not light on another side. Already, it may, so you just gravitate towards the light. In your office, in the market, in business deals, you move towards the light. For you are sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Say, I am the light. We are now light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We should gravitate towards light and move away from darkness. Next verse. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. That's how fruit is formed. It's telling you how to manufacture fruit. Goodness, righteousness, as right standing, and then right doing. Amen. Very important. Next verse. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord in different situations. Next verse. Verse 11. And have no fellowship, practice. That's what he's talking about. Fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove it. That's what Hophni did. That's what Phinehas did. I beg your pardon. Okay, next verse. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Next verse. So he's talking about secret things. No secret things. Verse 13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. And whatsoever doth make manifest is light. It's light. And you see, light does not mean you're in darkness. It's relative. A 100-watt bulb is light compared to an 80-watt bulb. An 80-watt bulb is by no means darkness. It's not darkness. But the light is more excellent than that one. So you take the better one. So that's why we must be humble. Because many times, God can bring better light, for example. Jesus went to a wedding. And his mommy said, in this wedding, no, they have no wine. And his response was, how does that concern me, mommy? That doesn't concern me. And whatever he says to you, just do it. And he had to revise that understanding very quickly. Light. I don't want to do my own will. I want to do what's the will of God. That will help you to find out where the light is. And he chose the light and manifested forth the glory. So walking in the glory is not just living anyhow and glory is dropping from you. Rather, it is you keen into the will of God in every situation. So because you are keen into the will of God in every situation, the glory is just dropping from you. That's really the understanding. It's not because I'm a scripture pastor and then I'm living anyhow. No. God will help us to walk in the light as he is in light. Amen? And to do that, then we watch and pray diligently. Amen? Watching and praying diligently, like pastor has taught us. Watching is you watch for the presence of the Lord. You watch for his presence, you know, in everything you're doing. You know, that's the fear of the Lord. You watch for him and then you pray. You watch and then you pray. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, thank you. You acknowledge him and then you pray. You know, and you do that all day. Lord, it doesn't matter how many, just keep doing that. Stay in communion with him. Like Pastor always tells us, this is the prerequisite to escape. It's not perfection. It's practice. Amen. Consistent practice is what makes us escape into the glory. Amen. It's not that, you know, it's as you practice, then you grow in the perfection under covering. Amen. That's the will of God. And then, of course, we operate seven pillars and leave no omissions. Leave no omissions. It's important to do everything. Read your Bible. Study. Fast. Pray. Do your confessions. General confessions. Set your will, you know, daily, in the morning. You know, these things we grow into it. We start with watching and praying. Then as we grow, God begins to demand a little bit more from us. And you and I know there is something in our hearts that helps us know where we are. Amen. Where God doesn't ask from us what we are unable to bear. It's acceptable according to what a man has, not what he does not have. So God would have revealed something to you. And and when God reveals it to us, revelation makes us very happy. We are very, praise God, praise God. But after the revelation, the next one is the responsibility. And you have to do it consistently. So occasionally, some things drop. But as you acknowledge the Lord, the Lord will remind you that, you've dropped that thing, or you need to go back to it. And when you go back to it, you see that everything goes away. So we operate the system with that. And after a while, our hearts become exercised in godliness. Like it says in 2 Peter chapter 1. It says, at your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. And Bible says that if these things be in you and abound, they make you. So that, how does it say? That you shall then be barren on full knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ. Next verse. Jump this one to the verse 10. Thank you. Wherefore, the rather, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Next verse. God's going to make us an entrance. He will make you and your household an entrance. Amen. And into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us bow our heads as we pray. He's making an entrance. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's talk to God. Remember, God is merciful, gracious. He wants to help us. He is already helping us. But He wants our hearts to be more open, to be more conscious. It says in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you by the mercies of God. So the degree that river of mercy is flowing, tap into it, consciously, frequently, consciously, in all your ways, in all your paths, so that mercy will not just preserve you from destruction. It will raise you up when you feel faint. Mercy will take you through. Then mercy will help you to be faithful. Then mercy will lead us into victory in situations where we thought we were totally outnumbered or disadvantaged. Bible says God will help her. That right early, there's a river of mercy flowing in Zion to help us to carry His yoke. And lift the burden so we can find rest unto our souls. The rest of dominion in godliness, in purity, in holiness. Christ alone I place my trust, and find my glory in the power of the cross.
In every victory,
in every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone. In Christ alone, in Christ alone, I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, in every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone.
Let's raise up our right hand to the Lord and put our left hand on our hearts. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. And has come to me today showing me that it is your will in this season of gross darkness to deliver me from gross darkness into bright, shining light, causing the darkness to be the background for your glory to be demonstrated in my life. Heavenly Father, I ask for mercy. Help me so that I will crucify myself. I will crucify my flesh, and you will cause me to be crucified unto the world, and the world to be crucified unto me, so that I will be immune from the attraction of the world by the power of your life working through the word, the blood, and the spirit, causing me to live a sober, righteous, godly life that brings you glory and honor everywhere I go. I ask for mercy to be faithful, grace to rise to a higher level of diligence and faithfulness in practice and exercise. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Raso katea, jengadi koma tope ke koba rapa katandekus rombe kudvoto reka kakoande osema jeokatanto via rede de bepo yewo baye baye kutarida rababako satabikele robo bobo baye kongaria yewo bokosote jefreme berenobo rude bababai meko bako kosose jekaro beleve kabai roba bamba kote zefreke koshanga rongadika mekeleve bediko kudevibesadeba. In Jesus' name, amen.